So here's what happens. They go out into the land. Okay. Actually, we're going to start a little lower. But they go out into the land. The spies go out. They go out into the wilderness, and they're looking at the promised land that God has already given to them. Okay? And they're looking for stuff to take back, to show them, okay, does this land truly run with milk and honey? Let's go show the people. So they're out there, and here in verse 23, and they came to the valley of Eshcol and cut down from there a branch with a single cluster of grapes, and they carried it on a pole between two of them. How big are these grapes? Just saying, okay? A pole, and you need whatever. They also brought some pomegranates and figs. That place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster that the people of Israel cut down from there. Now here's the report of the spies. They come back. Verse 25, at the end of the 40 days, they returned from spying out the land. And they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation. They've been waiting to hear, is the promised land there? And they showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them, we came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Basically, they're saying, God was right. This land truly is a promised land, and it's for us. What he's given us, it is awesome. It truly runs with milk and honey. But in verse 28, so often when we look at the promises of God and we get so excited about it, this little word comes in. Here it's however, but we always say, but. So here's what it says, verse 28. But the people who dwell in the land are strong. And the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Okay? The tone starts to change. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the Negeb. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the hill country. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan. But Caleb quieted the people because they're getting freaked out. He quieted them before Moses and said, let us go up at once and occupy it. For we are well able to overcome it. Then the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people we saw in it are great in height. And there we saw the Nephilim. And we seem to ourselves like grasshoppers, and we seem to them like bugs. Do you see what's going on here? Are they still focused on God at this point? Are they still focused on this is the land that God has given us? What are they focused on? Yeah, there's great stuff there, but oh man, the people are there. This place just devours. If we go, we're done for. We're absolutely done for. The Nephilim are there. They're huge. They're 10, 15, 80 feet tall. We're like insects to them. And, you know, we kind of look at this and go, what are these people so afraid of? God has given them the land. But, you know, when I was growing up, I was told not to dwell on the past. But at the same time, I was told not to neglect on the past. So, considering what we just read, I want you to imagine yourself in a car. Are you in it? Okay, cool. I like it. People are shaking their heads. Yes, good. You're in the car. You have a destination, and you know where to go, and you're driving, okay? And you see, you know where you're going, you see the road, everything's good, you see the scenery, and then to get to where you need to go, you need to take this exit right now. But you look, it's a bit bumpy. I don't know. I really like my car. I don't want to get it scratched up. Maybe there's another exit ahead. So you keep going. And you see another exit. But this one, it's a bit, you know, it's a bit tighter. It's a bit smaller. It's a bit narrower than the road I'm on right now. And, you know, I could fall off the road. I don't know if I want to do it. Maybe there's another exit ahead. And you keep going and you keep going. And you kind of see where I'm going at, right? We have a destination. It's God. Yet to get there, sometimes we don't like what we see. But what happens is we forget to look in the rearview mirror of our car. And we forget to look and say, you know what? That road back there was pretty bumpy, but we're here. Remember that time in our family when we didn't think we'd make it? But look where we are now. Remember that time when we didn't have enough to even get sandwiches for our family? But look, God provide. Look where we are now. Remember that argument we had and we thought it was over? Look where we are. Remember when mom and dad split? We thought life was over. Look where we are now. Look where God has brought us. Because we've listened. Look at where God has brought us. So the children of Israel, they need to be looking at the rearview mirror. God brought them out of slavery. God kept his promise. They crossed the Red Sea. They're at the border of the promised land that God has given them. They've seen proof that what God said was true. But for those of us who live in Canada, God has placed us in a country of freedom. We can worship God freely in this place. Amen. God has given us an amazing mission field at our school, at our workplace, in our families, whatever position he's given you. He's given us this awesome mission field to live out our lives for him. We have opportunities to invite people to be part of what God is doing. But we forget what our name is. Because maybe our name is not God of Salvation anymore. Maybe our name is not Little Christ anymore. But instead, we want the name to be Success. Well, once I fulfill the success, then I'll give God all the time in the world. Maybe it's just, I just want to remain steady. You know, I just want to be a crowd pleaser. I don't want to offend anyone. So that's our name. Maybe it's security. What I have right now, you don't know how hard I've worked for it. You don't know the sacrifice I've made for it. This is where I am, and this is where I'm staying. Maybe it's tradition. This is how it's always been. God possibly couldn't ask me to do that. Maybe it's respect. I'll really offend that person. But it's in the name of God. We need to listen to God and not others. We need to listen to God before culture gets a vote. Before they tell us what they think we should do, we listen to God. That's our name. So the question today, number three, the question isn't, Joshua didn't ask, is God on my side? But he asked, am I on his? He didn't ask, is God on my side? He asked, is God, am I on his? In Joshua chapter 5, if you just want to go just one book or two books over, Joshua chapter 5, okay? They're at Jericho. God has brought up Joshua as a leader for him. Because Joshua and Caleb stood up and said, no, God has given us this land, we're going to it. God said, fine, Moses, your generation, you're not going to get to see the promised land. You didn't trust me. You didn't follow me. I wasn't your God. But these two, Joshua and Caleb, these two, they know who salvation is. They're going to get to see the promised land. And I'm going to raise Joshua up in your place. So here's Joshua, the leader, and he's leading for God. And he's going to Jericho. They're going to take it over. And right before they get there, chapter 5, verse 13, here's what happens. When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said, are you for us or are you against us? And he said, no. But I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? You know, Joshua didn't say, but Lord, we've made it so far. We're going to stick to the plan that I made. We're already here. We're going to do things our way. I hope that's okay. No, he stopped everything because he knew who he was truly following. He was following God. And this is the commander of the Lord's army, the angel of the Lord. Only God can command God's army. And he's standing in his presence like Moses would have. And in verse 15, get ready for some chills. And the commander of the Lord's army said to him, "Take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. The question is God on my side, but are we on his? Are we trusting where he's leading us? With the name he's giving us, are we trusting him? And I'll conclude with this. Out of all the choices that Joshua made, they were for God. But the last one, he chose to be courageous. And having courage is not just an emotion, but it's a choice. And he chose to be courageous. If you turn to the end of Joshua chapter 24, Joshua is 110 years old at this point in his life. Ever since that name change, look through the scriptures, look through his story, everything was about God because that was his name. And even here, to his dying words, in verse 14, chapter 24, verse 14, this 110-year-old man, here's what he says to the people of Israel. "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your father served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord." And I like this. At 110 years old, Joshua is still real. Look what he says. "And if it is evil in your eyes," "and if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, then choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell." Basically, he's saying this: hey, children of Israel, you're God's kids. But if that's not good enough for you, if you want to choose other gods, I don't care at this point. But just declare it. Declare who you're going to follow. Quit faking it. Quit faking it. God's given you a name, but if you're going to choose other gods, the ones of your fathers, these false gods, people that are worshiping down the river, if you're going to follow those gods, fine, just declare it. Quit faking it. But a very famous verse, his final words: "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Yeah, we may look different. Yeah, the world may not get it all the time, the way that we live. But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And Joshua chose to follow God. And we have the exact same opportunity right now. Now, when we follow God, when we follow Jesus, when we live under this name, Christian, we need to remember why that is. It's because the God of the universe, who loved us beyond measure, sent his son Jesus to us. Why? Because we rejected God. Our first parents, Adam and Eve, said no, rejected him, but God didn't give up on us. Okay? He sent his son Jesus Christ for us to live a life that we couldn't live and to die a death that was meant for us. He took our place, our sin, our shame, and our punishment. There's weight to our sin. There's weight to the choices that we make apart from God. And he took that willingly on the cross and gave us a name. And what are those names? Redeemed, forgiven, loved, son, daughter, royal priesthood. But today, I fear that some of us, including myself, we live under other names. Maybe fear. Maybe anxiety. Maybe depression. Maybe we just want to be safe, so we do things on our own. Maybe the name that we live under is hurt. Matt, you don't know what somebody said to me. You don't know what my parents did. You don't know how I was brought up. Maybe it's pain. Maybe it's anger. But today, Jesus has given us a new name. Do we choose it? And if we choose it, how does our game change? How does our life match with that name? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you now, and we simply want to declare, as we look into the rearview mirror of our lives and see that day after day, year after year, you have been with us. Even in this new year, you are with us. You provide. There's nothing we can do on our own. Every breath is borrowed. Every finance we have is provided by you. Everything we have, the people in our lives, the opportunities, it's from you. So, Lord, as we look in the rearview mirror of our lives, we boldly declare, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Yes, we will look different to the world. But God, may we live by your example, by the example of your Son, Jesus Christ, who no one was below. God, we were dead in our trespasses. We were dead to begin with. Yet you brought us life. No matter where we are, no matter what we have done, you have made a way. So God, as we take this name change, some of us need to change it today. We've been holding on to this name of whatever it is that is not of you. And we need you. We need to be Christians. We need to be people who follow you. We need the life change that only you can give. So God, would you be with us in this new year? What would it look like with the name that we are under? The name above all names, and the name that we pray in right now. In Jesus' name, amen.